Good afternoon. It's good to see most everyone made it back out. As you might know, and as you can see on the board, we are going through a group of studies, and today we're in our eighth one, which is the opposition to innovations in doctrine. Now, it would be impossible in the course of one lesson to notice all the innovations that have been introduced into the doctrine of Christ. However, we do want to notice at least two of the most frequently taught, and they are, first, is it possible to be saved by faith alone? And second, once an individual is saved, is it possible for that person to sin and to be lost? The necessity of faith. To begin with, let's prove the necessity of faith, just in case someone was to get the wrong idea or to get the idea that we doubted. In Hebrews 11:6, it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Romans 1:17, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." And finally, 2 Corinthians 5:7, which says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." We can clearly see that faith is a necessary part of our salvation. We can't question this for a moment. But the question is, can faith only by itself save a person from sin? The only way to answer this question is to go to the scripture and see what they teach. Does faith alone save? It is noteworthy that many leading churches and church creeds teaches that faith alone saves. Some even state that the doctrine faith alone is a wholesome doctrine and full of comfort. But let's see in the Bible, James 2:24, which says, "Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only." The Bible teaches the very opposite. It says that we are not saved by faith only. How then can man justify this false teachings of faith only? Let's see more of the inconsistencies into which this doctrine leads us. James 2, verse 19, which says, "Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." Now, if one is saved by merely believing, the devils would be saved too. And we know that couldn't be. Again, we read in John 1:11-12, which says, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." The Bible teaches here that the believer is not a son of God, but merely has the right to become a son of God. If faith only saved, then the believer would indeed be a child of the Father. But this passage teaches that as a believer, he only has the right or permission to become a child of God, if he so chooses or desires. Look at John 8:31. "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Remember, those Jews believed on him. If faith alone saved, then they would be saved because they were because they believed. However, verse 44 tells us more. It says, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there was no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." So we see from this verse that the very Jews who believed on Jesus were of the devil. Their faith did not save them. Again, John 12, 42-43, which says, "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." Here again, we have some people who believed on the Lord, but for some reason failed to continue their obedience, and as a result, they were denounced. This just re-emphasizes the truth that believing only will not save. In closing this part of our discussion, I'd like for you, on your spare time, to read Acts 26, 19 through 29. Acts 26, 19 through 29. This is the account of Paul's sermon before King Agrippa. It said, you'll notice as Paul concludes, he asks the following question: "Believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest." So there is no doubt Agrippa was a believer. Now, according to some, he is saved. If faith only saves, he must be because he believes. He doesn't deny it, and Paul affirms it. But let's see the next verse, which is verse 28, and it says, "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." So even though he was a believer, he was not a Christian. He was not saved. Agrippa knew more about salvation than many modern-day preachers. He knew that believing did not save him or make a Christian of him. Now, wouldn't it be nice if everyone knew as much Agrippa did? Grace and salvation. "For by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God," which is Ephesians 2, verse 8. This passage from the New Testament proves that we are saved by grace. It does not prove that we are saved by grace only, but definitely teaches that the grace of God plays a role in our salvation. However, we are interested in whether or not teaching one is saved. He can ever fall from grace and be lost. Men say, no, he cannot. Let's read the following quote as proof that some people teach that they cannot fall from grace. Does a Christian's sin damn his soul? We take the position that a Christian's sins do not damn his soul. The way a Christian lives, what he says, his character, his conduct, or his attitude toward other people have nothing whatsoever to do with the salvation of his soul. All the prayers a man may pray, all the Bibles he may read, all the churches he may belong to, all the services he may have attended, all the sermons he may have practiced, all the debts he may have paid, all the ordinances he may have observed, all the laws he may keep, all the benevolent acts he may perform, will not make his soul one whit safer, and all the sins he may commit, from idolatry to murder, will not make the soul in one soul in any more danger. The way a man lives has nothing whatsoever to do with the salvation of a soul. Now, this statement above is by Sam Morris, at the time pastor of the First Baptist Church in Sanford, Texas. Surely you can see the implications of such a doctrine as this. What does the Bible say? Even though men say no, the Bible says a definite yes. The doctrine that man cannot fall from God's grace is an old one. The devil preached to Mother Eve in the Garden of Eden. He said, "Thou shalt not surely die." She believed him, and as a result, and the result is still with us today. Let's notice the following very carefully. The Bible warns it in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, which says, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." The Word of God recognizes the possibility of falling. Wouldn't it be foolish if the Bible would warn us to do of something that was impossible? A Bible example in 1 Corinthians 10:8. We are given a Bible example of some people who fell from grace. And this verse says, "Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day, 3,000 and 20,000. A great multitude of people sinned. They committed an immoral act. The result, they fell. The Bible says we can fall in plain, unmistakable terms. Listen, Christ has become of no effect unto you whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace." Just Galatians 5, verse 4. Can anyone deny such plain language as that? How can a man stand before an audience of intelligent people and tell them that they cannot so sin and be lost because of it? When the Bible says you're fallen from grace, we believe the above evidence from the Scriptures to be irrefutable. We are not boasting that one can fall from grace, just recognizing that the Bible says what the Bible says about it. We have no desire to make that mistake ourselves or to see others make it. For that reason, we would like to notice the Bible formula for prevention. This is found in 2 Peter 1, verse 5 through 4, and John 15, 5. In the order, let us notice them. First, 2 Peter 1, 5 to 9, which says, And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Secondly, John 15, verse 5. It says, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing." The formula for remaining faithful is to abide in Christ and to add to our lives those things mentioned by Peter and Jesus. A failure to do these things leads to falling from grace. Men say, you cannot fall from God's grace. The Bible says you can. What do you choose? What do you believe? That's all that I have prepared. I know it's kind of short, but I only had a day to prepare for this. If there's anyone here who'd like to obey the gospel, feel free to to do that as we sing, come forward. And if there's someone who's already done this, come forward also if you want to make it right, and we'll pray with you and for you. Let's all stand and sing.